Hi, this is Pastor Nelson Mercado. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast from the Nashville First Seventh-day Adventist Church. I hope you are blessed by today's message.
Let us pray. Father, this morning, we are searching for a word from you. You are the one we are asking to guide us. I am the one who is asking you to guide me. Thank you for the gift of Jesus. We celebrate that gift today, especially on Communion Sabbath. The Lord, give us the words that we need to hear. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. I may have told you this before. I'm the kind of person, I've been told, and maybe put this in quotes, diagnosed with what is called an obsessive-compulsive personality. Have you heard of that before?
Yes, sir.
Maybe some of you mental health professionals. Yeah. And part of that, I'm told, the characteristics of that is that people with obsessive-compulsive personality are very task-oriented. I'm very task-oriented. And also, I'm the kind of person that likes to prepare ahead of time, right? I do. Matter of fact, I remember as a student at Southern, of course, we have the syllabus at the beginning of the semester, and I know which assignments and which papers you're going to write. I would write my papers a month in advance.
Amen.
Because I always have this feeling, well, you know, what, you know, for the rainy day. What if there's a rainy day and something happens, I don't have time, at least it's already done. So that has translated into my ministry in many ways, and even my sermon preparation. I talked to you about this last night, Tarana, that I have already, by the grace of God, it's September, the sermons that I'm going to preach for the rest of the year, they're already written. Part of the sermons I'm going to preach next year, already written.
Amen.
There's a rainy day. You never know. It's expected that I preach, right? So if something happens, they still expect me to preach, don't you? So I got to be ready. Now, some people see this as a negative thing. I don't know. So it's going to surprise you today that I don't have a sermon to share with you today. Thanks, man. Yeah. I don't have a sermon. I had a sermon, but I don't have it anymore. Because God somehow told me it doesn't seem appropriate. It doesn't seem appropriate. And so you see on your bulletin the title of the message that I was going to preach and the scripture reading that I was going to use for it, that message. And but God, you know, this is why I, you know, there's something about being prepared ahead of time, because that's how I like to be. But there is something else to hopefully rely on God and be Him the one to say what He needs to say. So, if you're going to take me to the cross after this, then I'm hoping that you'd talk to God about it first. Let's open our Bibles to our scripture reading, our new scripture reading, John 17, verses 20 and 21. John chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. Now, in the context of John 17, Jesus starts praying for himself. He's about to go to the cross.
Yes,
so he's talking to his Father about it. He prays for himself, glorify me together with yourself. Then he goes on to pray for his disciples, because he knew what they were going to go through upon his arrests, upon the crucifixion, etc. But then he goes on to pray. Jesus looks ahead, and he prays for all believers. So this is the context of our scripture reading, verses 20 and 21. I do not pray for these alone. So I do not pray for these disciples of mine who are going to be scattered upon the crucifixion, but also for those who will believe in me through the word, or through their word, that they will be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. I want you to notice there, verse 21, as he ends there, the purpose that he has in praying for the believers, all believers, is that the world may believe that you sent me. We live in a world that doesn't believe in much, right? We live in a world that has disregarded God, has disregarded his word, has disregarded his way of living. And it is up to those that are called disciples of Christ to represent him enough so that the world will see that. So that the world will listen to the word, so that the world may be converted to Jesus. But I want to ask, because this is what came to my mind. His prayer was that they may be one. Now, why would Jesus ask that? Well, in the context, of course, he knew that the disciples would be scattered upon the crucifixion. They would run. They think they're going to kill us too. But he's looking ahead. He's looking into the future to those who would believe because of their word. And his desire is for them to be one. Now, obviously, Jesus is asking the Father that those who will believe on account of the word that the disciples were going to proclaim would be united. Amen. Jesus knew that the disciples are going to be scattered, so he prays for them. But he knew that 2,000 plus years into the future, those who believe because of the words of his disciples would need unity. And they would be need unity because they're not united. They have, you know, there's the phrase that says in unity there is strength, or there's strength in unity. And that is a truth that Satan knows very well. He knows it. And because Satan knows that in unity there is strength, he is doing everything possible to divide. Everything possible to sidetrack. And I imagine Satan right now is laughing at us. We, as a, you know, this is, you know, a call on Christianity in general, but here as a Seventh-day Adventist church, the remnant people of God who are called to proclaim the three angels' message to the world is not united and is buying into a concept of division. And how are we going to do the work of God if we're not united? If we are divided? You know, a pastor, they say that a pastor needs to be relevant. And while I struggle a bit to what the Lord wanted me to say, I have to say, please. Because I don't like to get political in the podium. I don't think it's the place. But unfortunately, what has happened, we've seen this before, is that the world is coming into the church, and so is politics. It's coming into the church. There's no secret of the events that have happened over the last couple of weeks with this issue of Charlie Kirk. And right from the start, it is clear that this is a very troubling topic. What we've seen, unfortunately, is with the death of Charlie Kirk, and we've seen it before, is that the division and polarization of our country, of our society, comes to full view yet again. But what's sad about it is that the division and the polarization of members of our church comes right up again. Now, this is a multicultural church. We are from different backgrounds, different experiences, and we all have different views on this issue. Charlie Kirk, whether, you know, some are going to think Charlie Kirk was a racist. He was the scum of the universe. He should not be celebrated. There are those who are going to think he was a great man. In fact, as far as what we were seeing, at least from the right, is that they placed him on a pedestal that I don't think he'd be comfortable be with. And everybody has an opinion on this. And there's nothing wrong with having an opinion. We don't bring politics in the church, but we all have our political beliefs. I have my political beliefs. But there is a problem. There is something that happens when we bring this to the forefront and try to take sides and proclaim that publicly. This week, and again, please pray for me. Somebody may say some bad things, but I want to give you an example. I'm not taking sides on this, but I'm presenting this because of what Jesus' desire is here and his prayer. This week, I have heard and read about leaders in our church, pastors in our church, who are celebrating the death of this man. So much so that they have said publicly that they're glad that voice has been silenced. There is something that's been public. I've told you, I'm always in social media seeing what's happening. One of the conferences in the church put out a publicly stated on their website about how they feel about this, and there's some good things in the statement and about, you know, scripture and everything, but they end by saying that they do not support that side or support the ministries in the church that have come out and publicly have made a statement of compassion, etc., and that furthermore they are reviewing their strategy or the principles of working with those ministries anymore. You can look it up yourself. I'm not going to, you know, you could probably look it up if you don't know about it. It's all over the internet, and at least in the Adventist circles. And again, you have your opinion on this. You may disagree with me, but that has no place in God's people. Amen. That has no place in God's people. Remember, you may remember when I preached on the election last year, I mentioned that we are being manipulated. That Satan is manipulating us like puppets. And instead of learning from what's happened in the past, we saw this through George Floyd, we've seen this through the election season, both in 2026, 2020, 2024, but we're not learning, and every time something like this happens, there we are attacking each other and taking sides, and Satan is laughing at us. We are being divided, and because we're being divided, we are not doing the work that he's called us to do. Instead of focusing on ministry and how we can advance the kingdom of God, we are saying, well, we're not partnering with certain ministries. In fact, I would go as far as to say, one individual said, because Mark Finley spoke again on this issue and having compassion, that we are not going to have Mark Finley resources in this church anymore. This is an Adventist pastor. Satan is laughing at us. Is this the people of God that's going to take the three angels' message around the world? Give me a break. They're not united. They're not, dare I say, Satan thinking, oh, Jesus' prayer is not being answered. He wants them to be one, and they're scattered all over the place. And so what can I say about this? You will have your opinion, and you're welcome to your opinion. But anything that sidetracks us from the goal and the purpose of our existence should never happen in this church. We need to grow up. Because God has chosen us for a purpose. He has raised this movement for a purpose. And shame on leaders who take a political side and are threatening to boycott certain things because they don't agree with you. And that hinders the work of God. I say it publicly, shame on you. Because Jesus wants us to be one, and you want us to be two or three or four. I mean, and there's different ministries out there that have come because of different beliefs, but it's a shame when conferences are doing this. So this seems appropriate to me during communion Sabbath. Because communion is about unity. Communion. And Mrs. White talks about the purpose of communion, and I want to share a few of these things with you. Key aspects of communion. The first one is remembrance of Christ. The central purpose is to remember that Jesus and his infinite, to remember Jesus and his infinite sacrifice, which ratified the new covenant of all believers. By the way, his sacrifice was not for those on the left or those on the right or those on the middle. Friends, we should not be identified by the donkey or the elephant. We should be identified by the lamb. That's how we should be defined. The second one, a starting point for reconciliation. Imagine that. Communion is not a prerequisite for participation, but rather a starting point and a reconciliation with God, ourselves, and others. God wants us to reconcile, not to look to reasons to divide us. The third one is a symbol of God's love. The service speaks to the senses about God's immense love and Christ's willingness to endure the cross for those on the right, for those on the left. For humanity, for everybody. You know, we're very quick to criticize what a person has said or didn't say or how they behave, like we're saints, friends. But we are all saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Remember, we talked about grace a few weeks ago, and I talked about Jeffrey Dahmer. What a scum of the universe he was. A murderer, a serial killer, and saved by God's grace. And if he can save him, he can save you and me. Second, the next one is hope for the future. The service points to Christ's second coming, keeping the hope of his return vivid in the minds of believers. Friends, that is part of the present truth. Jesus is coming soon. We need to proclaim that, and we need to be united to do it. The next one is experiential union with Christ by receiving the bread and the wine, believers symbolically engage with Christ's broken body and shed blood, becoming one with him through faith and obedience. Then the next one is a time of unity and cleansing. It is a time to clear away selfishness. bitterness and misunderstanding among believers, fostering unity and fellowship with Christ and each other. This is key, friends. This is why oftentimes when we're preparing for communion, we try to announce it several weeks ahead. Because it's important that you work out things that in your life that may be hindering your union with Christ. But more importantly, are there things separating you from the body, from the rest of your church family?
Yes, sir.
And so I want you to think about this. Because later on, we're going to go into our foot washing. And I know some of you choose not to do this. But friends, one of the reasons we do this is because of that. Everything. There may be some disagreements. There may be some strong disagreements about how you feel about X, Y, and Z, and that threaten to disrupt your unity, your friendship, the love for each other. This is when we come back and confess our sins and say, "Forgive me. You are my brother. You are my sister in Christ." Yeah, we may not see eye to eye on some things, but that's okay. We are part of the body of Christ. We need to put these things aside and come into unity. And finally, not a time for self-condemnation, with emphasis that communion is not for dwelling in past experiences or shortcomings. We all have those. But for focusing on Jesus and his cleansing blood. That's what it's about. So we are coming today as one church family. Amen. Who love each other in spite of our differences.
Amen.
And who will not allow Satan to distract us and sidetrack us and take sides, but we will be one in Jesus to proclaim this message of salvation for the preparation of the world. That's what we're here. That's what we should be focusing on. And so before we pray, just a few instructions as we separate for our foot washing. The ladies will be in the beginner's room to my right and your left. The gentlemen will be in the primary room, and the couples will be in the fellowship hall. Now, when you come back, as usual, we want you to be reverent as you come back, and you will sit. We ask you to sit in the pews that have the white dots on them. You see the white dots on the arm of the pew. Please sit on those pews. And while we are having our foot washing, the children can stay here and have the children's story. Will you stand with me as we pray? Our Father in heaven, today we come with heavy hearts and concern over our church, over what's happening, over what Satan is trying to accomplish. But Lord, we are reminded, and of course communion reminds us of this, that you defeated Satan on the cross. That Satan is a loser. And that we want to have nothing to do with him. We don't want to be manipulated by him, Lord. Forgive us if we've done just that. If we've allowed him to manipulate us and sidetrack us. Father, you, the desire of Jesus is that the world will know who he is. By our example, by how we live our lives, by how we are identified. And so, Lord, forgive us for we have failed in that regard. And we pray for our church, not only Nashville First, but for our church at large who is also being manipulated. Help us to keep our focus on Jesus and the reason why we exist in the first place as a movement. Thank you for giving Jesus to shed his blood for us. We pray that you will bless the remaining part of this service. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us. If you're ever in the Nashville area, come and visit us at the Nashville First Seventh-day Adventist Church. We're located at 2800 Blair Boulevard in Nashville, Tennessee. You may also visit us at nfsda.org.